Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Gov Talk podcast. Wish we had some better news, but we do not. The Govs fell in the first UAC game of the year. Fell to Abilene 45-31. It was pretty ugly. Not the first half was atrocious. I mean, let's just call a spade. The first half was not good. Turnovers, penalties, inconsistent play, receivers dropping balls. Just a lot. Anything that could go wrong went wrong. Chris, let you go just talk about what you saw in the first half.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, we saw, a couple key turnovers, inside. One was on the four-yard line. Wildcats only had to go 4 yards. And then the other one was, I believe, inside the 20 or close to the 20. So, it was, you can't give good teams like Abilene incredibly short field. And, to their credit, they took advantage of it. But I think that was that was the key there in the first half for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you go into halftime, you're down 24-3. And it's hard to come back from a 24-3 deficit, especially against a solid opponent like Abilene. But like you said, Chris, if it wasn't for the turnovers, this is a completely different game. In the second half, we're a lot better with the ball, and you outscored them 28-21. So you actually did have a pretty solid second half. Chris Parson looked phenomenal in the second half. Yep. He played terrible the first half, and I think he would tell you that. I still think Chris is a great quarterback, obviously, but he played terrible in the first half, and he would admit that, I'm sure. Not up to par. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just – given some different looks or what it was, but something wasn't flowing.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, he looked incredibly off. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but he looked incredibly off. Just with the passes, with the running, and just nothing looked like what we've seen the first 3 weeks with Chris Parson. So, and like you said, it's and he was his usual self in the second half.
Yep.
I don't know what adjustment he made or what Coach Ferris said to him at halftime, but I mean, whatever it was, it seemed to help him because he looked back to his old self.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the overall box score, if you didn't watch the game, if you look at the box score, you'd probably think we won. I mean, we had more total yards, we had more rushing yards. We did have way more penalties, which is a problem, which is another thing. Like, so at the end of the game, you had a chance to get the ball back. You would have been down by 2 scores, and you would have had the chance to get the ball back with all your timeouts and the 2-minute warning. And, like, you have a chance to get right back in this game. We were moving the ball like crazy in the second half. Like, they couldn't stop us. It was – I mean, Chris was moving the ball down the field. Shamar Kirk was making plays. The offense looked good. So you had to feel good. Hey, if we get a stop here, we get the ball back down 2 scores. Like, this is a chance to make this a game. And then TJ Cox Jr. comes out of nowhere and hits the quarterback way late and first down. And the game's essentially over at that point. Yeah. It's just like stupid penalties like that. Like, you cannot be doing this. Like, that completely lost us the game. I mean, the turnovers in the first half lost us the game, if you want to be technical. But you have a chance to fight back. You're playing your asses off in the second half, and then to have it just thrown away by a stupid penalty. And listen, TJ's a great player. He's former walk-on. Like, I don't want this to overshadow, like, all the good that he's done this year, but you can't have stuff like that, man. Like, there's no margin for error in games like this.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, it kind of took the win out of the sails out of, you know, out of mine, and I'm sure yours, and anybody that watched, and then plus everybody on the sideline as well. I mean, because you're getting the ball back. I mean, Abilene's having to punt to you. You're getting the ball back. The way they've been running the ball and way the offense had been gelling in the second half, I mean, it was going to be potentially a one-score game. And that took, you know, and then they score on the very next play. So, I mean, that just took everything, took the sails out of everything, out of everybody.
Yeah, so. And then, like, you had – so, at the end of the game, you were still down – well, whatever the final score was, you were still down 45-31, right? And we still had all three timeouts. It was, like, just under 2 minutes left. Obviously, like, the chances of getting a stop – using obviously, you use your three timeouts, get a stop. You get the ball back. You'll have like a minute left to go get a touchdown. Say you do that, then you get an onside kick and you need, you know, it's stranger things have happened. I know it was unlikely. I didn't like how Coach Ferris didn't even bother using his timeouts. I thought that looked kind of bad. And I asked him about it after the game. And I love Coach Ferris. He is completely transparent, which is one of the best things you can have in a coach. He told me that he didn't use them because he felt like the game had been decided at that point. And he's probably right. 99 times out of 100, that doesn't happen. Like, taking the timeouts, you know, increases your chance of winning by like 0.1%. I get that. But I would have liked to see that to try. I mean, you can't take your timeouts to the next game. You might as well have tried. I didn't really – it made me think there was something he didn't want to say in his answer, like something other than that he didn't do it. But I don't know. I thought it was a little strange. Like, why not at least try? I don't know. But it was disappointing because the second half looked so much better than the first half. So it would have been, I'm not going to lie, guys. Like, you know, it's, I cover the team, but I'm a fan. I graduated here. I was disappointed in the first half. Me and Chris were tweeting. We were tweeting through it. Like, we were being negative because it was hard not to be. And the second half showing, in my opinion, like, it meant a lot to me because they could have folded like cheap lawn chairs. They could have been checked out like, okay, let's go to the next game. They didn't, though. They kept fighting. They were trying. They were playing hard the whole game, even when it was very unlikely we were going to win. And they ended up making it a lot more respectable. So I was proud of that.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and I want to give a particular shout out to Jackson Head. I mean, what a game he had last night. He was 732 yards and a touchdown. Longest was 43. And then he had the almost had the scoop and score off the fumble there right before halftime. I can't remember who it was that had the original catch, but
I think it was
fumbled.
Robinson. Jaden Robinson.
Okay. Robinson. Okay. Yeah. He picked it up and, you know, it was an opportunity to score there right before halftime, which I can't remember right off now. So much has gone on between now and then, but did not get a score there except for that field goal. But yeah, what a game for him.
Yeah. So I believe he's the first tight end in program history to ever go over 100 yards. So that is a great game for him. He was definitely a standout. You know, he had only had three or four catches in the whole season coming into this game. And then he had that incredible performance. So he ended – what did he end with? He ended with 7 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. Yep. You know, Jaden Robinson had a good game. He also went over 100 yards. Shamar Kirk had another – Shamar Kirk is just a solid, like, chain mover. Chris Parson was the leading rusher. So that's what I wanted to kind of talk about is my keys to the game were stop the run or get to the quarterback and establish the run game. We didn't either.
Yeah,
we had no We didn't get a single sack. You're not going to win a whole lot of games if you can't get one sack. And then Abilene, we didn't – I mean, Chris was under pressure. They only got one sack on Chris, but he was under pressure constantly. The line, I did not think, had a very good game. I mean, the run blocking wasn't good. Chris was having to freestyle quite a bit. And the defense just wasn't good enough. I mean, they were giving up chunk plays. It was the first time this season where guys were running wide open and our defense just didn't know what to do, it seemed like. That was the first time. I mean, granted, Moorhead is not – I don't think Moorhead's capable of making our defense look bad. And Middle is not good at all. But still, it was a little disappointing to me and surprising to see the defense just letting people run wide open. I mean, there were so many holes, big chunk plays. And I said coming into the game, Stone Earl's a good quarterback. Like, this is a guy that has FBS experience. But I never thought that he was going to account for 8 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns. But still, like, that's absurd. And even the Abilene fans, I saw Abilene fans that were like, you know, they're used to getting their yards on the ground. They're not used to having these like crazy high powered offenses. So that was crazy. I really wasn't expecting it. Stone Earl completed 30 of 42 passes for 339 yards with 4 touchdowns and 1 interception. And then he also was their leading rusher, ran for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't disagree, especially, you know, with the defense and the line. But, you know, I just go back to those 2 turnovers. I mean, those just really killed you, because, I mean, if you completely ignore the score and look at just at it statistically, I mean, it's either favoring Austin Peay or it's right there even with both teams. You know, I hear what you say about the defense, and they average 6.1 – Abilene Christian averaged 6.1 yards per play. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't look good, but then you look over at ours, and it's 5.9. So, you know,
it's – I mean, to be fair,
the two turnovers are frustrating, and eventually, I mean, it costs you the game. Total yards, Austin Peay won that battle 434 to 432. Passing, you mentioned that. Govs were 330, Abilene was 339. And then rushing outgained them in rushing yards. So, yeah, it's just – I mean, again, if you just look at it statistically, it's you would have thought the Govs would have won this game.
Yeah, I mean, it really does boil down to the turnovers and the penalties. The penalties is – because turnovers are going to happen. I mean, and the penalties are what frustrates me, because your guys have to know not to hit somebody after he throws the ball. I mean, that's just common sense. Like, that's completely preventable. I mean, the turnovers, you know, you're playing a good opponent, you're going to make a couple mistakes. But the unsportsmanlike penalties are – those are completely avoidable. And that's what bothers me. Has this changed your perspective? I mean, I know people might think we're being a little negative, because we both predicted us to lose this game at the beginning of the year. But do you – like, when we did the preview, we predicted this as a loss. Yeah. I know last week we didn't, but do you think – does this change your mind on the team going forward?
I mean, kind of. Like, on one hand, you know, you look at the 4 fumbles, 3 of them lost, and then you look at the 9 penalties for 80 yards. I mean, that's a bit concerning. But beyond that, I mean, we went – you take those two – you take that away. I mean, we went toe-to-toe with the defending conference champ on the road. You know, they'll probably be close to a top 10 team after this weekend. You know – how they respond this coming weekend will, I think, will tell a lot. But I mean, it's still a good team. I mean, it's still a pretty solid team. But you know, like I said, those fumbles and the penalties, I mean, that's something that I believe need to be looked at for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do think that it was a wake-up call. At least I hope it's a wake-up call. You know, you feel real good because you go out and beat middle bad, and then everybody's patting you on the back because you look good against Georgia. And then you go out and feel even better because you killed a terrible Moorhead team. So hopefully this was the wake-up call they need. Like, you guys aren't the greatest team on God's green earth, you know. Maybe this will get us back to earth a little bit. Because, I mean – and, you know, maybe we had too high of expectations. I mean, you know, we won 4 games last year, so we're already halfway there. I mean, this is – not that I expect us to win 4 games again. That would be completely disappointing. I'm just saying there's might still be a step between where we were last year and then to get to where Abilene and Tarleton are, because clearly I think those are teams that have been solid teams for longer than us. Most of their roster has been together. They have really good veteran coaches. And I think maybe this is just a wake up call that we're not quite to that level yet.
Yeah. I don't disagree at all. You know, they get to come back home for 2 against Utah Tech and West Georgia. And then, you know, you go on the road to EKU, who has not looked good. Let's just be fair. And then you come back home and play North Alabama. So, I mean, in my opinion, the schedule kind of favors you to kind of go on a little run here.
I mean, this will tell me a lot because this will definitely tell me a lot because, you know, people are looking at the schedule and they're like, oh, well, that's Utah Tech at home. Like, that's an easy win. Well, have you guys seen what Utah Tech has done so far this year? I mean, they could easily be a 1-loss team. They could easily be 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, they just beat Northern Iowa, who's a perpetual pretty good FCS team.
I think we both picked Northern Iowa to win that game too. So, yeah, that was kind of surprising.
Yeah, I mean, and then West Georgia just, you know, like annihilates Eastern Kentucky. Now, granted, like you said, EKU might be in for a down year, but nobody really expected that. I mean, this is still surprising. Nobody, not one person on God's green earth predicted West Georgia to be 4-0.
4-0. No.
So, you know, before the season, we're feeling all good circling that game. Like, oh, look, this Utah Tech and West Georgia back-to-back homestand, you know, that's going to be easy. That's 2 easy wins. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be 2 easy wins. I mean, we'll still be favored in both, I would think. I think we should still win both, but you have less of a margin of error now, and those 2 teams look better than we thought.
Yeah.
This will tell me a lot, though, if we come out next weekend, and which we'll get to a preview about that later this week, but if we go out and look pretty good against Utah Tech and, you know, win comfortably, then everything will be back right in the world. But right now it's just really, really – it's just a bad taste in your mouth, man. I mean, you don't like losing conference games. You don't like looking sloppy as we did. And coach in the press conference – I had the chance to ask him a couple things, and I asked him about the timeouts, and then I asked him about kind of what was Abilene able to do differently that some of the other offenses weren't able to do, and he just said they have really good players and they have a really veteran coaching staff, and when you're playing on the road in the ACU or UAC, when you're playing on the road in the UAC, if you don't play a pretty flawless game, it's hard to win. So
it's kind of hard to argue that.
But I will say
honestly,
this.
Yeah.
I will say this, and we'll get more in depth in the preview. I don't care how good Utah Tech's looked so far. If you go out and lose to Utah Tech at home, that's a problem. You can't do that.
Good teams find ways to respond, and you know, hopefully they find their way to do that this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, do I think this doesn't change my opinion on Coach Ferris. I mean, I still think Coach Ferris is a great coach. And his team plays hard for him, like very hard. That you can tell. He said – so he told me that he didn't even have to give like a rah-rah speech at halftime because the players were more pissed than he was. So that's a good sign. Like,
it's
not that they don't care. It's not that they're not trying. You know, they play hard. I trust Coach Ferris. Nobody works harder than him. And I definitely think – we have a chance to make it right. And we'll talk about it later, but I think we'll make it right.
Yeah, I mean this, last night was, not the obviously not the result we wanted. But like I said, it's, good teams find ways to respond and hopefully they respond in a resounding way this weekend. And got a good opportunity to do that at home in front of your own fans. And so, yeah, I mean, to answer your question about 5 minutes ago, yeah, I mean, it's a little concerning, but I mean, I don't think it really changes my perspective on the team. I think we're still looking at a, pretty good team. Maybe not to Tarleton level, but I think, right there in the two, second or third best team in the conference.
Yeah, I think Tarleton's a wagon.
Tarleton's another animal. I mean,
That
that's just, yeah. They can do, they can rack up some points.
I mean, at the first quarter, I was feeling pretty good. I was like, okay, Chattanooga, get putting Tarleton on their toes, 14-10, and then the final score is 52-24, and it's like. Okay. But what else? So we talked about West Georgia. North Alabama gave Illinois State a pretty good run for their money.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a bit of a surprise of the weekend and within the conference was North Alabama and Illinois State going into two overtimes. I mean, I figured Illinois State would win at being at home would win that one pretty handily the way North Alabama had played the last week or two, last week or so. And then you had we talked about Utah Tech. And then about us, obviously, and then Sacramento State, I think, did what most people thought they would do to Central Arkansas, 45-16. Not a real big surprise there. And then I think UC Davis and Southern Utah, also not surprised with a high scoring affair, but UC Davis won 50-34.
But yeah, that's, the UAC looking around. You have Utah Tech, who's better than you thought they were going to be. You have West Georgia, who's better than you thought they could be. But luckily for us, you have Utah Tech coming to Clarksville next week. So we'll learn a lot there. And hopefully we get a bounce back win. I definitely think the Govs will be favored. I think they should be favored. I have full faith in Coach Ferris. I think they'll get it right. I think they'll be ready to play. I think they'll be prepared. And like we said, Chris, they played hard throughout, even when we were getting killed. They came back and they fought hard in the second half. It's encouraging. So yeah, I think that about does it. We'll end there, and we'll be back on Thursday night for the Utah Tech preview. Let's go pee.
Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.